Okay, today I'm sitting down with Kristen Marcus, and we're still in Sheridan, Wyoming, right? In Sheridan, Wyoming, at Chaps. And I found you because as I'm traveling across the country, I'm trying to find, like, unique things that are within the state. Well, I know there's equine therapy other places that aren't just in Wyoming, but I was like, whoa, what can I find in Wyoming that would be kind of like, I don't know, a Wyoming thing? And so this morning when I was sitting at the rest stop, I Googled you. And so thank God you were like, heck yeah, come on out. So this is super cool, beautiful location. And I just want to give you kind of a little bit of time to be able to talk about what you do, what CHAPS is, why you got into doing this type of work, or basically just tell everybody what you do and where we are.
So I am the executive director for CHAPS Equine Assisted Therapy, and CHAPS actually stands for Children, Horses, and Adults in Partnership, which is pretty cool. We actually are in the middle of a rebranding because we've expanded so much that our name doesn't include like our veterans and our elders that we serve as well. So, but we'll stay CHAPS. We're just trying to rebrand so that we can be a little more inclusive of everyone that we serve. We do serve adults. We do serve youth pre-K, and then the youth up to 18. We also serve our veterans and, of course, elders. Last Tuesday, we actually got to go to a new facility called Greenhouse Living. It's another nonprofit here in town, and it's an assisted living center. We had one gal, she was so sweet, but she cried. She was so happy to see a horse. Big crocodile tears. We were all in tears. It was wonderful. And we took Feather, one of our ponies. We call them the midgets because they're a lot smaller than the rest of the horses here. Yeah. But Feather really enjoyed getting out and meeting the elders as well. So some of the things that we do a lot, actually. We do adaptive riding, which used to be called therapeutic riding, but now the terminology is changing. And then we have adaptive carriage driving. So they actually learn to drive the horse and buggy, which is pretty cool.
What?
And then we do equine-assisted learning, which is a really amazing program that we can adapt to almost anyone or anything. It's I'll get back to that one a little bit because it's my favorite program that we do out here. And then we do equine facilitated psychotherapy, which is a true mental health program. And we work with the veterans enrolled in the residential mental health program up at the VA. So, like I said, we do a whole lot. excuse me. Our mental health program is all on the ground. Nobody ever rides. We do it in groups and we focus on self-care. We focus on communication, relationship, and coping skills. Those are huge. Most of our clients from the VA residential program have PTSD or bipolar or traumatic brain injury. Excuse me. And so it's a really cool program where we can partner with the horses. We can help them to reduce their symptoms of anxiety, help them reduce symptoms of depression. And then they learn those coping skills and then how to communicate with their loved ones again and so that they can maybe repair family bonds and friendships. So we've been doing that program for about 11 years, and it's one of my favorites as well. The equine-assisted learning is so much fun because we can adapt it to so many things. I was telling you, we went to Greenhouse. That's part of our EAL. Our goal with that program with the elders is to get them to tell stories. We know that most of them are farmers and ranchers that were from around the area and that they had horses growing up or maybe in their, you know, as they owned a ranch or whatever with their family. And so we asked for them to tell us stories. And what was really cool about Tuesday with that program is we had the activities director was telling us that this one woman there, she hadn't spoken in months. Like, she just has been withdrawn and in a room. She hasn't spoken to anybody. She was telling my instructor all about how she used to ride her horse up the mountain. She'd go fishing, and then she'd catch her fish and come back home and have dinner. And, I mean, it was a good 15-minute conversation. And so when she told us that she hadn't spoken in months, we're like, wow, how cool is that, you know? But that's what we want to do is we want them to get them to tell us their story and so let them know that they're heard and that they're valued and that we want to know how things were so different back then towards now. And it's been a really great program for us. at Daybreak, which is a program from the Hub, which used to be the Senior Center, we had a lady, she was telling us stories about how she got to meet, Roy Rogers and what is his wife's name?
Minnie?
No. Darn it, I can't think of her name. Her horse's name was Buttermilk. I remember that. But she got to meet Roy Rogers' wife at some social function in California. And, you know, but what had sparked that is we took in pictures of famous horses. Roy Rogers' Trigger was one of them. Mm-hmm. And she told us this whole story. Dale Evans, that's her name.
Okay.
She got to meet Dale Evans. And it was a 15-minute conversation, too. And she never piped up before. Like, we'd been there for weeks. And she hadn't told us anything other than, hey, it's nice to see you. And then we brought in Trigger, and she's like, I know that horse, and I got to meet Dale Evans. And then we're like, oh, you have so got to tell us that story. So it was really cool, you know, to get them to engage and know that we were wanting to hear their story, and we want to know what they've done. When we had to end the program in spring, because we go November to March, you know, a lot of them are really disappointed, and unfortunately, we can't be in two places at once, so we travel in the wintertime to those facilities, and then we're out here for our March to November, and we travel over to Buffalo to the veterans' home, and we work with those veterans with the ponies, and for them, they want to just learn anything they can about the horses, so they soak up everything. We've done nutrition, we've done chiropractics, we've done saddle fitting, we've done gaits, we've done breeds and colors. And they just soak up all of that information. And then they'll regurgitate it when they come back out here in the summer and they ride and they drive here. So we get to see them year round. And so it's really been fun to watch them learn and grow in their horse knowledge. I think my favorite part of EAL, though, or the equine assisted learning, is the pre-K kids. So we go to the Child Development Center and we work with the pre-K class. And we actually focus on academics. So there's literacy, math, music, science, geography. And it's so much fun. We partner with the CDC and their lesson plans with the teachers. So then we will come up with ways to help imprint what they want to learn. Like my favorite one, and when we went in 2019, we weren't able to go in 2020, mm-hmm. of course. But in 19, we had this unit where they were learning anatomy. So skeletal anatomy and then outside, you know, anatomy. So the eyes and the hair color and, you know, your parts of your body and everything. Well, not many people know that a horse is not that much different than a human. Mm-hmm. It's really cool how similar they are. And so we took in, my daughter used to be into skeletal anatomy for humans. And she had gotten for Christmas this year, you know, a little 3-foot human skeleton. And I have always been horse crazy. And one year for Christmas, I think I was 16, I got an invisible horse. So it shows all of the guts and everything, but it also has all the bones. So we took those in, both of them, and we were able to compare with the children, you know, the parts of the horse and the parts of the human. Yeah. And, you know, how we were similar, how we were different. But, you know, that's science.
Right.
It was really cool to do the anatomy and physiology. And then we did eyesight. One was, and so they got to learn about how a horse sees because their eyes are on the side of their head. Mm-hmm. So we have these glasses that we have adapted to where you cannot see straight in front of you. It's only peripheral vision, like what a horse weird. Would have. Okay. And then we asked them to do a little obstacle course with the glasses on. It was hilarious. They were such good sports. Really great kids. But, you know, it definitely widened their perspective on how other animals can see. And we talked about prey versus predator. Predators have their eyes in the front. Prey have their eyes on the side. And so then with the skeleton and everything, we had those two compared things. And then they got to draw their own skeleton, and we had all the parts cut out, and they had to glue them on and then color it and draw on it what they were. So, you know, then that's memory and recall. But then we also had, we have a board member who's extremely creative. She's wonderful. So she made a felt blanket for one of the ponies, and then she cut out felt bones. So the kids had to put the bones on the horse where they would be. Of course, they didn't get them anatomically correct, but they tried, and that was all that mattered.
Yeah.
You know, and then they actually, but they learned the parts of the bones. You know, they learned the pelvis, they learned the femur, they learned the ribs.
And this is pre-K.
Pre-K.
Wow.
Yeah, it was incredible. And then one year we did geography, and this was fun too. We dressed, the one pony is black and white, so we dressed him up as a panda bear. And they had to learn characteristics of the panda bear. How much do they eat? What do they eat? How much do they weigh? What is their gestation? You know, and they learned all about this panda bear. The other one, she's brown and white, but mostly white. So we dressed her up as an elephant. She even had little booties that had elephant toes on it. It was fabulous. She had a little trunk hanging off of her halter. It was great. And they had to learn all about the elephant because we were doing Asia for the geography that week. And then we had a map that we adapted and did different animals for different countries. And they were color coded. So they got the colors and the different animals plus being exposed to the different countries. And it was just, it was a lot of fun. And then they had an art project where they used a paper plate and made themselves a panda mask. So it's a wonderful program. You know, we can do so much with it. Our ponies have been dinosaurs and cowboys and Native Americans and pilgrims and Abe Lincoln and a pizza. We dressed her up as a pizza because we were talking about foods from other countries. So they had to dress her up and put all the pieces on the pizza. And she's, those ponies are amazing.
Oh my God.
They just really are. We have 12 horses here. They range from the ponies who about 11 hands or 44 inches tall to 17.2, which is over 6 feet tall at the shoulder.
Okay.
And we have draft breeds. We have light breeds like quarter horses. And we had an Appaloosa, but he's gone now. And then we have the ponies. So we have a really mixed herd. They're really diverse. And they are all amazing. They've been specially selected for their personality, the way they move, or their skill set. So most of our horses, I think 7 out of the 12 now ride and drive, plus do the mental health. And the pony, Feather, she does everything. She does, she goes on the road, she drives, she rides, she does the mental health. She is an absolute rock star, just amazing pony. And, I think our youngest client right now is 6. Our oldest client will be 85 in August. So we serve a very wide range. It's pretty cool. Now, I don't know if we have any older ones out at greenhouse yet. We haven't gotten all the paperwork back on them, so I'm sure we'll have a few that are older than 85. But yeah, it's a calling. It really is. Yeah. I got into it because my daughter had a stroke during birth, and so she was diagnosed with cerebral palsy. She couldn't use her left side, and we didn't, you know, being first time parents, we had no idea. Do babies develop unilaterally, bilaterally? We didn't know. My mom's like, yeah, that's not right. You need to get her checked. So they told us she'd had a stroke, she had cerebral palsy, and they told us that calmly, just that blasé. I was like,
excuse me?
Hold the phone. What? You're going to have to say that again. So we got an MRI, and, you know, our brain is broken up into quadrants. Mm-hmm. So the upper right quadrant on her MRI was completely black. There's nothing there. It was killed.
Wow.
So it's just fluid. She's had to learn to walk and talk. And I mean, the neurologist, when we first saw him, she was 6 months old when she was diagnosed, said, I don't know if she's going to be able to walk or talk. She probably won't. And I was like, that's not okay. So we pushed her. She was in speech therapy, occupational therapy, physical therapy. And by 9 months old, she could distinguish 9 out of 10 times between red and yellow. She was learning blue at the time. It was pretty cool to just shock the doctors.
Yeah.
But then we got her involved with therapeutic riding when she was 3. And she learned to ride her own horse by herself at 3. And even using that left hand, which is so non-functional at the time. Like her middle finger and her ring finger, she still cannot use. They're useless to her. But she can use her pointer finger and her thumb now. She could hold the reins and now she can pick up a penny off the table, which was a huge, huge thing for her because that hand was so useless for so long.
Yeah.
But holding the reins and then having to direct the horse and feel, you know, the resistance and or the give of the horse helped her with her hand. Having to use her leg to get the horse moving. She built her muscles up. Most people now cannot tell that she's ever had anything wrong with her Except for the behaviors. I mean, we have some issues with the behaviors.
And how old is she now?
She's 19.
19. Wow.
She graduated mainstream high school. She was a second lieutenant in the Civil Air Patrol. And she's now finished her first year of high school, or first year of college for graphic design.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was amazing. She's just, she's done really, really well. And I really, for her physicality, have given the credit to horseback riding. So then when we moved home to Wyoming, she was 7, and we got her back into therapeutic riding out here. Mm-hmm. And she went all through high school with her middle school and high school out here. And of course I have my own horses, so she would ride with me there. And but yeah, it's been really good. And then of course the physical therapy, or the physical training through Civil Air Patrol, would help with the strength and whatnot. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I did my master's thesis on a child with an anxiety disorder, and she quit speaking outside of the home, and she did not speak a word outside of the home for a total of 13 months. But within that, she quit speaking even within the home, and her mom said she would have her pursed lips, that she wouldn't even smile, and even when she slept, her mouth was tight and closed. And so we had her on, or working with this horse named Spud, and so I interviewed her through journaling, interviewed her parents, her counselor, her volunteers that we had every week. And we went through several months. And the first word she said was the horse's name, Spud. And then her mom called me 2 weeks later and said she's singing in the church choir today. It was an incredible breakthrough for her. I don't know exactly how or when or what the horse did. But as soon as she was able to speak his name, she didn't shut up. Her mom was thrilled and at the same time like, okay, there's got to be a filter somewhere.
Yeah. Because
wow. She talked all the time. So it was really, it's really amazing to see how the horse does it. You know, and with our mental health patients, our clients who have anxiety and depression, there's a new study. And I could talk about this all day long. So you tell me when
I have to stop. This is amazing. You have up to 45 minutes. I was just like, 10 minutes of your time, 40 minutes, whatever you want to tell me.
Oh, no. I love this. I love this so I can talk about it all day long.
Yeah.
With our mental health, there was a new research study came out. Well, it's not new now, but 2017. HeartMath.org did it. And they found that the horse has a very powerful magnetic field around their heart. And it extends about 50 feet past their body. Well, which makes sense because they're a prey animal, you know, and they gather in herds and whatnot, but they can spread out and graze. Mm-hmm. And then they have that one watch horse, usually the stud or the lead mare.
Okay.
And if they see danger, their heart rate jumps. But because of that magnetic field, the entire herd will know in a split second because that magnetic field transmits it through the whole herd.
Okay.
So humans also have a magnetic field around our hearts, but it's not nearly as powerful or as large. Usually, and because if we're introverted, we can pull it in usually around 4 or 5 feet. But if we're extroverted, it can be as far as 8 to 10 feet. So we have a little bit of control around it. Not that we, you know, mostly know about it. It's just the way we're built and that's how we mm-hmm. navigate the world, right? And what happens with a horse, when you put a human within that 50 feet, the horse's magnetic field will start to affect our magnetic field. And the closer we get to the horse, the more the horse overpowers ours. So what happens is then our heart rate and our respiratory rate will start to come down, which is called regulation. And once those start to come down, that feeling of anxiety, that feeling of depression, it starts to dissipate. And it's all because they have the ability to control the rate of our heart and breathing. So cool.
Wow.
Really, really great stuff.
Are they the only animal that does that?
No, dogs can do it too, but theirs isn't as powerful as a horse's.
Okay.
And I think, and I may be wrong, I don't know the actual, you know, rates and whatnot of the dog too. I think ours may be a little more powerful than the dog's. That's how we can get them, you know, when they get the zoomies or they get all worked up. So we can influence the dog. But, you know, being around any animal, the magnetic fields are either going to mesh or they're going to bounce off of one another. But horses is so powerful because it's got such a wide field that they can overpower us, and that's why we feel better just being around a horse. It's incredible science.
Wow.
And, you know, once we explain that to our veterans, and they're like, yeah, you know, let's take stock. I really do feel better being out here. I'm like, well, you've got three horses within 100 feet of you, or 50 feet, or 30 feet, or whatever. Yeah. Or sometimes they're right there.
So even just coming out here, and even if they were just sitting, mm-hmm. it would make a difference.
It would affect their heart rate and wow. their respiratory rate, yeah. It's incredible, and I've seen it time after time after time. So then when that research came out and we were made aware of it, I was like, I can finally explain to these guys why the horse makes them feel better.
Yeah.
You know, because they're inquisitive. You know, they want to know. They're intelligent people. They've done a lot of things, seen a lot of things. Just educate them, and then they're like, okay, now I know what to look for.
Yeah.
So it's really cool how once they know that they're going to feel better being just out here, then they can focus on those coping skills or the relationship skills, communication skills, the self-care, you know, and it just helps to elevate those good moods and so that they can learn and help to heal. And it's really, really cool thing.
That is super awesome. That is really cool. So how long have you been here then? Or how long has CHAPS been? And
so CHAPS was founded in August of 2004.
Okay.
And so 17 years here in the same location. I've actually been the executive director for the last 6.5 years.
Okay.
And but I have been involved with the therapeutic riding world for the last, let's see, my daughter's 19, so 15 years. Uh-huh. Yeah, 15 years.
So 16. Everyone who comes here is from within, like, 50 miles of here, or, like?
Yeah. So we serve all of Sheridan County and then northern Johnson County, which includes Buffalo. So the veterans from Buffalo come over here from March to November, and then we travel to them November to March. But we've had students from the Buffalo School District, which is Johnson County School District 1. Mm-hmm. They come over and they participate in our therapeutic riding. Then we have Sheridan County School Districts 1 and 2. We have Renew, Easter Seals, the VA, the VOA, Rising Sun, Wellness Center, Eagle Ridge Rehabilitative Enterprises. Say that 5 times fast.
Right.
Individuals, lots of individuals come out here, and individual physicians and therapists have recommended their clients to us, too. So, John C. Schiffer, it's the alternative high school here. They were bringing their equine science class out here. So it's students who are at risk. And yeah. So they come out, they learn about the horse and how to ride and everything. But involved in all of that is teamwork and building self-confidence and getting them to feel better about themselves. Yeah. So that's been a really cool project too.
Wow. How many people are on staff here?
We have 6. Okay. So we have myself and the barn manager are the only full-timers. And then we have 3 instructors who are all part-time. I have 2 therapeutic... Well, I have 1 therapeutic riding instructor. She's certified through PATH International. And then I have one who's in training. And hopefully we'll hear about her certification the end of next week. And then I have a PATH International driving instructor as well. And then I have an admin assistant who's part-time. So just 6 of us.
Wow. You have to be busy. All the time.
All the time.
Yeah. Well, and it's a farm too. So you're not, do you ever get a day off?
Well, I actually haven't had a day off in 18 days so far, but it's July and everything in this county happens in July.
Okay.
But no, normally I have Thursdays and Sundays off. My barn manager has Fridays and Sundays off. My instructors, they rotate. So my driving instructor's here only on Tuesdays and then she has another job and whatnot. And then my other 2 riding instructors, the one that's in training and the certified one, they trade days or they split days because it can be a lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's easy for them to get 50,000 steps a day.
Yeah.
You know, being in the arena and catching horses and going and whatnot. And Gina and I help a lot too. She's the barn manager.
Yeah.
And we have to hold certifications as well. So
is it all women?
All women.
Hell yeah. I mean,
absolutely.
Not that men can't do it, but that is kind
of
cool.
You know, it's funny because one of our veterans, he asked us, you know, I've noticed it's all women out here. And he's really fun to, you know, just poke with. And he has a lot of fun with us out here and whatnot. And I'm like, you know what? The men can't keep up. He's like, hey, now. But yeah, so we're all women here as the staff, and then our board is 6 women and 2 men. Mm-hmm. And they're both veterans, which is really cool. They've helped bring a veteran perspective to the board, which is great.
Yeah.
But that yeah, we're hopping. It's a lot.
Yeah. So what are kind of some of your future goals that you're wanting to, or is it just enough is enough right now?
Oh, No. We have goals and aspirations. So we would like to start a capital campaign for a bigger facility. Right now we can only run one lesson at a time because with the weather, our outdoor arena is not covered. So if it rains, we've got a mud slop out mm-hmm. there, or if it's 103, we can't be outside because it's just too hot. We've had a lot of 103 lately, so...
Yeah, supposedly it's not this hot ever.
No, this is one of the hottest records.
Yeah, it's been a very hot few months up here.
It's been awful. I don't like anything over 70, so yeah. I've been dying. But so we would like a bigger facility. We'd like a 150 by 300 foot arena that we can split into 3 arenas and run 3 lessons at a time.
Oh, wow.
And then we'd like 50 acres because our 35 is just not quite enough to maintain our herd. And especially with this drought, we're going to have to buy hay this year. Normally we get it all donated, but nobody's got hay. So, you know, if they don't irrigate, there's no way for them to have a big hay crop.
Mm-hmm.
And but we'd like to have 50 acres. We'd like to have a separate barn so we could do veterinarian and dentistry and farrier and everything all in that barn away from our clients. Right now we work Tuesday through Saturday because on Mondays we have to have that day for the vet or the farrier or the dentist, you know, and they don't work on the weekends. Mm-hmm. So we can't be on top of the clients. Some of them would get triggered. It's just really inconvenient to have to schedule all of that in between clients. And so we'd like a separate barn. Eventually, we would like to have a covered outdoor and a covered round pen. And then with our pastures, we'd like to have 10 feet in between each of the fences so that we can take our clients outside and do trail rides or carriage rides in between. It's safe, but it's outside. You don't have to look at the walls of the arena.
Yeah.
You know, get some fresh air, feel the wind on your face and the sun.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we would love to start a capital campaign. We're hoping within the next year that we can get out on some 50 acres, build a really nice state-of-the-art arena. We'd like to have classrooms, too, so that we could hold conferences and clinics here.
Yeah.
You know, and indoor plumbing. Indoor plumbing is a big dream.
Oh, I know that feeling.
Yeah. Because all we have out here is a port-a-john. And let me tell you what, in the wintertime, when it's 20 below, that seat is cold.
Yeah. I bet. That's what I just assumed that was like an extra one or something.
Nope, that's the only bathroom that we have. So
nice.
Yeah, indoor plumbing would be fantastic.
Yes, I 100% understand that. Is there anywhere or where do people find you to help support or?
So we have a website that will tell all about us and all about the horses and our clients too. It's chapsyo.org, and you can give online. Or you can give me a call and volunteer because we always need volunteers. Right now we're about 20 volunteers short of what we need. We have in the past have run with 70 volunteers, which is fantastic. And this year we're up to about 28. So we have several volunteers who are out here for several hours a day, which God bless them that they can do that and they want to be here.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a lot. You know, like I said, 50,000 steps a day for the instructors.
Yeah. Do you guys do, like, internships or anything like that? Like, if somebody came out for, like, 3 months or something,
yeah.
Like, do they have to be in the area or can they volunteer or come out for, like, a work study
program? I mean, we'll take anybody who wants to come and learn. We love to teach others. We've had interns in the past. We've had not only high school interns, but we've had graduate interns, too, from colleges and whatnot. We did couple of occupational therapy interns. That was so much fun.
Yeah.
Because we learned a lot from them, and then they got to learn, you know, how we run our programs and whatnot. But yeah, we love to teach folks. We can't help with housing or anything like that. We don't have that ability.
You just roll up in a bus. You live on.
Hey, I mean, we got the room for you to park your bus, so.
Right? Oh, these schoolies are going to be like, I want to go do that.
Yeah, no, it's very, very rewarding. You know, if you want to help people but you love the animals, this is a great balance. Yeah. You know, you can get your animal time, you know, horse time specifically. Although we have 3 barn cats and my dog is usually out here.
What kind of dog is that?
Oh, so that's Fleur's dog. Oh, okay. And he is an Irish Wolfhound cross.
Yeah.
He's so cool. And he sings with the clients. So all she has to do is say harp. Ooh. So then he'll woo. Clients love it. I have a yellow lab. He's not quite as engaged with the riding clients as Harp is. But for the veterans, he's in their laps. He's by their sides. He's just, he's so intuitive to who needs a dog love, you know. And so he's been out here. So we have lots of animals. You know, and if we got a bigger space and we're able to incorporate it, we wouldn't mind having a couple of other animals. Maybe a mule or a donkey. We're not sure about any non-equines.
Okay.
Just because they're a lot to manage, you know, and you have to learn a whole different digestive system and management and whatnot. But it would be kind of cool to maybe have a goat or a pig or a cow.
Right. Like all those things.
Right? Yeah. So, but no, we have a lot of dreams. We would love to serve so many other people, law enforcement officers. We would love to serve them. You know they've got PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
Fire department and EMS, same thing. We would love to serve them. I would really like to move more into the special needs for the school districts and get into the classrooms with our ponies because they're amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know, help with the academics and whatnot in that. We would love to work with long-term foster kids, those who've been in the system for so long. But we'd also really like to work with those kids who are newly adopted and their families and help them learn to communicate and those build those relationship skills so that they can make a nice, cohesive family. You know, it's keep endless. Going with the veterans. Oh, yeah. So many. Early onset dementia.
Yeah.
We would love to work with them. And, you know, equine therapy is really unique in that it is so adaptable to so many different demographics.
Mm-hmm.
There's not another therapy out there that is so unique.
Yeah.
You know, even if you're a counselor in town and do traditional person-to-person therapy, you specialize in adults, families, or children.
Yeah.
You know, you typically don't do all of it.
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
Pretty neat.
Yeah. Pretty awesome. Okay, well, did you cover everything that you needed to cover? Because I'm like in awe.
I think it did. Will this post soon?
It'll be not August 10th, August 17th.
Okay, cool.
Unless you have an event or something that you need
to... We have an event coming up July 31st.
July 31st, okay.
The Tournament of Knights. We have a jousting troop coming in from Utah, and they will do an actual jousting tournament. It's pretty cool. We have a Renaissance Fair associated with it. Yeah, it's not this Saturday, but next Saturday, so it's coming up quick, but no big deal.
That's cool. Dang it. I'm missing all the things. This is what I have to do. I have to plan my trips out a lot better. Like, this has been just a super organic trip, which has been awesome, but, like, I missed the fair or whatever rodeo a powwow you just had. I'm going to miss this thing. Like, whatever. I can't do it all. Okay. Well, thank you so much for sitting down with me. I can't wait to share about you guys.